Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
Look, there's no question the Commanders took a risk having first-time offensive and defensive coordinators. But sometimes risk does pay off, right? Nick Ashew on The Fan. David Blau was a very sought-after offensive coordinator. And you know, they're getting younger and younger now. The Ravens have a 29-year-old offensive coordinator. It is the tech bro world for offensive coordinators. Younger, faster, more creative. What's next? What can you layer on that's already been done? Who's thinking differently? Who's bringing new perspectives? That's it. Defensive coordinators, you want more experience because they need to be able to have seen a lot more, have experience in these situations. You're reacting to what an offense is generally doing, and it's just different. Look at the ages. Look at the median ages of defensive coordinators versus offensive coordinators. Some of the best defensive coordinators in the NFL are in their late 50s and 60s. Offensive coordinators, I mean, we are talking, David Blau's 29, or David Blau's 30. We got a 29-year-old offensive coordinator in Baltimore, and you go down the list. There's a bunch of them. But one of the reasons why the Commanders had to move so quickly with David Blau is that he was a hot commodity. He was going to get an offensive coordinator job somewhere. And one of the main places was Detroit, where they know offensive coordinators and they know offense. Ben Johnson had a lot of success there. Love him or hate him in Washington, he had a lot of success there. And it's so far working out in Chicago, and we're seeing that. But there were a lot of reports that the Lions were very, very into David Blau, who was a backup quarterback there for a while before he got into the coaching side of things. Dan Campbell, the Lions head coach, who you know loves to tell his guys how much he loves them, man. He's just a positive dude, man. Listen to what he had to say about David Blau.
I love Blau. I mean, he was one of the guys that I wanted to bring in, you know, Coach Quinn and those guys went ahead and named him OC, which is smart by them. I think Blau is a young, rising coach in this league. I've been around him firsthand, and he's another one, man. He's sharp. You know, he understands football and quarterback play. He knows the run game. And he's a detailed guy, and he's competitive, man. He's very competitive. So I think he's going to do a great job.
Now, if you had any doubts, that doesn't guarantee anything. But it should make you feel a little bit better about a 30-year-old David Blau getting promoted to offensive coordinator. We don't know what the system's going to look like. There's a lot of things that are certainly up in the air and a lot of things that you have to do with this offense as a whole. But the one thing we do know is that it's not like the Commanders promoted somebody that nobody else wanted. This isn't Jim Zorn years ago where they hired him as offensive coordinator and then went, hey, how about interviewing for the head coach job while you're here? Oh, gee, golly, gosh, sure, that sounds real swell. This isn't that era. This is different. And David Blau was, as so many of these young offensive coordinators or offensive minds are, highly sought after. And this is just the way of the NFL now. And David Blau could be getting head coaching. And if the Commanders have success this year, he may literally be in the conversation next year for head coaching jobs. Now, interviews don't guarantee everything, and sometimes it's teams want to talk to you and they know that you're probably too young or maybe need more experience. At 1 year as an offensive coordinator going to head coach, I wouldn't make the move. But again, it's not like Sean McVay was an offensive coordinator very long before the Rams hired him. But you also have to think, too, if you're the Commanders, even though it was a totally different regime, totally different coaching staff, totally different everything, those graphics that you see on broadcasts and all over the internet and everywhere on social media that show all of these former offensive coaches that were in the organization under the Mike Shanahan coaching tree that are now head coaches in the NFL having success. Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, Kevin O'Connell, Matt LaFleur, all, I mean, there's a lot. And then it trickles down more and more. Do I think that had a major effect on them in this decision? No. Do I think that it was at least thought of behind the scenes? We don't want to show that again, even if it's a different group of people here making the decisions. Yeah, I think there was a little bit. Just even if it was a 10% influence, you have to think that there was at least a little bit of an influence there. But look, the one thing here that could be a very big positive with Blau also being young is that you hope his mindset is, I'm not rushing to be a head coach. If David Blau is the offensive coordinator for 5 years. Let's just throw out a big number here. Let's say Blau is the offensive coordinator for the next 5 years for the Commanders. That puts him at 35 years old. That's still really young to be a head coach. Now, guys are getting hired around that age now, but that's still really young. So you have the potential, if you're the Commanders, to have a level of continuity where your offensive coordinator is in the organization for 5 years, working with the same quarterback, building a system, adding layers to it, developing a young quarterback. They're adding more pieces, adding more weapons. That's what you want. See, it's one thing to have a great quarterback, but if you don't have the system to match it, you don't have the pieces to match it, right? I call it the assembly line of success. The play caller, the offensive line to block, the quarterback to be able to make the throws, the receivers to be able to make the plays. You have to have all those things for an offense to be successful. On defense, I mean, there is a system, obviously, but there's also just game wreckers that can do things on their own. You got a great edge rusher that get after the quarterback at any point, he can disrupt the game all by himself. And I know that's dumbing it down a little bit, but I'm just saying, like, there is a little bit of a difference there, where, yes, a quarterback can take over a game to a point himself as well, but there is still a level of success that you do have to have with an offense that involves a lot of pieces. Continuity is what matters so much. I mean, go back to Jason Campbell's days, man. Like, he had a different offense every single year. Now, did that hinder his development as a young quarterback? Probably. Could he have been a future Hall of Famer if he had been in the same offense for 6-7 straight years? I don't know. That's an alternate reality we don't live in. You're going to have to put that into AI and see if they can figure it out for you. But, you know, this is what's so important right now is these are the pivotal early years, right? It's like the young childhood development years. It's the same thing with a quarterback. These are those young years right now for Jaden Daniels. Remember, though, it's already going to be year three. So we've basically thrown this year out the window, or last year. We're going to last year at this point. After the Super Bowl, we go last year. So we're going to say last year. 2 years done for Jaden. We know that. One offensive rookie of the year and one really bad year we'd like to forget. So year three, what does that look like? You're going to have to start talking about contract at some point with him, too. So all of these get factored in here to where now it's all about the continuity and the coaching. It's the twofold, right? You have to have the offensive system stay consistent with layers being added, but not just the system. It's also then developing it around the quarterback, working with Jaden Daniels, helping him as a player, but also helping him understand the system, working with him to develop it together, because he'll have a say in it, at least like, hey, what are you comfortable with? What works? What doesn't work as much? All of those things. All of those things matter. But you got to be able to get this stuff right now. You can't mess this up. So, yeah, there's a level of risk, and you hear that thrown around a lot with these coordinators. And again, defense is a whole different situation. But when it comes to at least looking at where you are now, right, you've got a quarterback that has a really high ceiling and an offensive coordinator that has a really high ceiling. And that's what matters. And you hope that he's young enough that he wants to stay around and develop enough as a coach where you're not losing him in a year or two. And by then, you can figure out a whole development plan and succession plan. Okay, who's going to be the next guy up? Who's going to be the offensive coordinator when it's all said and done? Like, that's kind of how it goes, right? Those are the types of things that you have to keep in mind. And I think they're already kind of starting to work on that. If you look at some of the hirings they have, including a tight ends coach that now gets elevated to passing game coordinator that worked really well with Trey McBride out in Arizona. Like, these are the types of plans you have to make as you move forward to think about it. Who's going to be next if this happens? Great businesses, great organizations are 3, 4, 5 steps ahead, sometimes 10. What are all the things that could happen? How can we prepare for that? What are going to be contingency plans? All of that. You have to think about that, especially when you're building this organization. And look, the Commanders have a lot that they need to do this offseason on the offensive side of the football, too. We're still having the conversation today, February 28th, 2026. We are still having the conversation about needing a number two receiver next to Terry McLaurin. Still, to this day. Now, I know Debo was supposed to be that guy. Terry was hurt for half the year, so you kind of have to wash that away and go, well, maybe that would have worked had Debo actually been in the role he was supposed to be here for, not a fake number one. He's not a number one. But that's still something they have to focus on. What does the tight end position look like for them? If Ben Sinnott's their number one tight end, we got problems. Sorry, I know they love him, but and that doesn't mean that David Blough can't find a better role for him. We know Cliff Kingsbury, we're not a big fan. But, I mean, what does the tight end position look like? These are a bunch of different... Now center. I mean, Tyler Biadasz is gone. So now you got to figure out center all over again. So there's a lot on the offensive side of the football here, too. Defense was so polarizing because the offensive side, it was more about, well, you have Jaden Daniels, but he's hurt. So what if, right? On the defensive side of things, it was never like anybody had confidence in this defense to begin with. Let's not pretend that the Commanders' defense in Jaden Daniels' rookie year was actually any good. They just were able to generate turnovers at the right time, especially against Detroit, to be able to win that game. That defense made plays when they needed it to in the playoffs or late in the season, but they had plenty of issues defensively that first year anyway. So it's already got a spotlight on it. It's already polarizing. But in reality, this offense has a lot of needs too. Look, I'm not even comfortable with what you got in the backfield right now. I wanted more from Chris Rodriguez. Don't know if he's back. Clearly, at this point, they've made it known that he's not going to get consistent carries. They had their chance to do that with him. He had years and showed flashes. Is Bill Kroski merit enough? I don't think so. I don't care how much they love him. I mean, so what? We didn't see enough. You need more. So are they going to go out and are they going to address running back? Is that going to be in the draft at some point? Probably not Jeremiah Love, though we did run a 4.36 a little while ago in the 40, in case you're wondering. He's fast. But they've got to figure that out. So there's so much that's going... Also, let's not also keep in mind, the other young receivers you have on this roster, does Luke McCaffrey's role increase when he's healthy? Does Jalen Lane become more of a weapon as a receiver and not just a return man? Those two guys, great. Two of the best returners in the NFL last year. Luke McCaffrey was regarded, statistically, was the best before he got hurt for a while. And you were starting to see plays from him on the sidelines, making these catches, the awareness, the foot control, the body control as a whole, all of it where he went, we're starting to see that development. Now, I'm not saying Luke McCaffrey's going to turn into a number two, but what I am saying is you have some younger guys there that also have the ability to develop more as wide receivers as it goes forward, but you still don't have enough. So there's this level of both, right? It's finding more pieces, developing some of the young ones you have, continuity, all of it. And this is the thing with the NFL, is it this stuff happens fast, right? Like, life comes at you fast in the NFL, where you could all of a sudden be Dan Quinn on the hot seat halfway through the season if it's not working out. Dan Quinn could be the, for those that dabble, there are odds for first coach fired, and Dan Quinn could rise up that very quickly. I know we got an A-plus on his report card, but players love him, but you still got to be able to win. That's how the NFL works. And look, think about this, and this is where my brain is going to spiral real quick. I'm going to be Charlie Day, right, in that gif you always see from Always Sunny where he's in front of the board with all the connections and the rib, you know, the string, and he's doing the whole conspiracy theory thing. Let's just say that Dan Quinn, this doesn't start off well, and Dan Quinn's on the hot seat. Let's say they fire him in the middle of the season. Who's your interim coach? It's going to be some positions coach most likely. Not a rookie offensive or defensive coordinator. Okay, so then what happens at the end of the season? Do you blow out the whole coaching staff? Do you keep some? This could get bad really fast. So it could go both ways. But I appreciate the fact that they've taken a risk, and they're basically saying, look, we're going to go all in, and we're going to do what a trend also is in the NFL, and it's hiring a young offensive coordinator. But I think there's enough conversation, enough there you can see what the potential is with David Blough. It's just making it work. That's really what it comes down to. But Dan Campbell loves him, man. I love that guy. That's who I wanted to bring in. Oh, they did a good job. I do love Dan Campbell, though. How can you not love that dude? He's the guy that... He's the big, tough softy, right? Just a big, caffeinated monster that at the same time is super soft and will give you a hug and cry. How can you not love Dan Campbell? Oh, man, I just love my guy so much, man. I mean... He built a culture there. He may not be an X's and O's guy, but if you got great coordinators in the NFL, it doesn't matter. And really, that's the thing, too. Great coordinators do not get enough credit for how valuable they are. Now, we're starting to see more of that conversation with what's happened in Detroit this past year, right? What happened in Philadelphia multiple times, where you see teams lose their offensive or defensive coordinator, and all of a sudden you're going, oh, yeah, that coach was important. We need to value coordinators a lot more. Sometimes it's the coordinators that are more important than the head coach. If those coordinators are good enough, the head coach just has to be like the CEO, just delegating, showing up in different position meetings and making sure everything's on track. Delegating is what you need to do. And that might be more of what Dan Campbell does with great coordinators, and we could see that because they did take a step back. Detroit was just 9-8 this year. Did lose some talent, I get it, but man, I love them. Nick Hashew on The Fan.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Why have I asked my electrician I found on Angie.com to bury my pet hamster Nibbles in our yard for me? Because I was so moved by how carefully he buried my electrical wires, I knew I could trust him to bury my sweet Nibbles after his untimely end. Huh, Nibbles. Gone too soon. May he scurry in peace.
Hey, sorry about your pet, but I just wire stuff.
Nibbles would have loved you like a brother.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized, interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Adam Peters has his work cut out for him. But I do think we're going to get to a point where we start to really say in Adam Peters we trust. I do. It's look, rebuilds are tough. They're not fun, and losing is just a part of it. But I'm making a prediction now that a week into free agency, people are going to start feeling a little bit more confident about this team again. Then again, too, I've been here, so I've been there before, but sometimes it just takes a couple of moves to win this fan base over. It's been me included before. Listen, I will go back to when I'm a childhood. I will fully admit this, and I've said this before. Remember when Trung Candidate was a running back? I remember that Steve Spurrier era. Now I was a young lad. I was a young lad. But I remember thinking to myself, that Trung Candidate's going to be really good. It's the Steve Spurrier offense, and it's okay. You know, like, again, of all ages, you know, again, you'd be like, stupid kid. Yeah, I know, I was naive. It's fine. But sometimes it takes one or two aggressive moves to really show a fan base, we understand what you're doing. We understand what you've gone through. We understand that we can't sit here and spend 5 years rebuilding this team. And it helps, too, because you've already watched this group. It's not the whole team, but you watch them win 12 games that first year. Like, there is the, we know where the ceiling can be. We understand that we've got a front office that can build a team that can win 12 games. Like, it's there. We've got a quarterback that can play the way that Jaden Daniels did his rookie year. This team was not winning five games this year had they not dealt with all of the injury last year. We got to remember, it's last year, now the Super Bowl's done, that's my rule. All right, last year when they won five games. It's hard to adjust. I struggle with that, like, transition over to last year when it just happened. Anyway, at some point you got to make it happen. But Adam Peters knows that they have to make some changes. They have to make some, you know, moves that are beyond just the short-term veteran guys you're bringing. You can't continue to be an old-ass NFL team like they've been. And look, Adam Peters knows it. As he said this, that was my fault. Terrible lead-in, Metal Chris. It's been a long day. Here's Adam Peters on that.
Coming off a down season, how much, if at all, do you think you guys need to change your approach in free agency?
Well, you always want to get better, so I don't know, changing your approach. I think your goal is to always, you know, field the best team possible, so that's always going to be the goal. And so there's certain things you learn that you did well, certain things you learn that you didn't do well, and you just try not to do those things. And, I mean, I don't know how many years I'm into it, but there's always things that I'm learning new that I'm screwing up and things that I can get better at, and that's all of us. But so changing the approach in terms of what our goal is, no, but changing, you know, certain, like, approaching things differently or learning the lessons from the previous years, yeah, always doing that.
What are some, are there any lessons in particular that you've learned that you apply to this year?
You know, specifically not off the top of my head. I think, you know, you guys have asked me about, you know, Terry's negotiation. We've covered that a little bit and trying to, I think we ended up in a good place and super, super happy we got there, but would have liked to get that done sooner. And that's a good lesson. But in terms of free agency and all that, I think the same principles apply, just, you know, making sure you stick to those principles and making the best decisions for the team.
This team's got to get faster and it's got to get younger. I mean, speed matters in the NFL. Look at what we're seeing. I mean, you're seeing guys that could potentially be, you know, 6'3", 250, going after a quarterback running 4'5", 140s. That was David Bailey, right? Like, everybody's getting bigger, faster, stronger, and more athletic. Nutrition, training, maybe it's human evolution, I don't know. But look at the way that every position is in the NFL in terms of athleticism. Size and speed as a combination together is it's a great combination to have. But it doesn't mean that you don't want to have some level of veterans on this roster, too. You have to get younger, and when you're looking at some of these edge rushers, it's going to really help when you can maybe find someone on the free agent market that hasn't established themselves as much yet, but you see that next level of potential. Dorrance Armstrong is always an example for me, where, I mean, Dan Quinn knew he had him in a system in Dallas, but he also said, like, give him more of an opportunity. This guy's going to be good. And he was. And he was, after a month of him being out injured for the season, he still was the team's leading sacker. Right? Like, that says something right there. And also says their lack of a pass rush, but, you know, that's, that stuff matters. To being able to identify talent that can take that next step. It's not just going out there and taking the easy route. That's really a true testament to what you've got going on in your front office and talent evaluation. Drafting well and finding guys that don't cost a monster deal necessarily, but you bring them in on a 2 or 3 year deal, but they're younger, and you know that next step is going to make a huge difference. And that also doesn't mean that you just completely ignore having any veterans on the roster. In balance. Life is about balance. Building an NFL roster is about having a lot of balance too. And I know people hate it, but Bobby Wagner still has value on this team. And I know, oh, but Nick, he's so bad in coverage. I know, he is. That's why you have a limited amount of snaps for him next year, and it's a small contract most likely. And he is there on this team as someone that's a leader, that's out there on third and one, that is nowhere near anything that involves a pass. Like, just nothing. Like, oh, there's a chance they throw the ball, Bobby Wagner's off the field. We just did nothing. We just stay away from it. But on a third and one, you know who I want out there? I want Bobby Wagner on the field. A guy that, again, the standards are low, but you need someone that can actually tackle. Just tackle. We're just starting with that. We're just tackling. That's it. That's a really good start. They didn't have much of that last year. And the veteran leadership that's there, the understanding of the game, the just helping guys mature. I mean, Bobby Wagner is a smart, great leader that really wants to help younger guys develop. And it helps with Jaden Daniels. This is such an important year for him. He's got the full offseason. You need everybody healthy in the offseason. No contract disputes with wide receivers. You need Jaden Daniels out there developing chemistry with everybody on that offense, learning the new system with David Blough. Some of it's going to be the same. Some of it's going to be different. They're clearly going to change it. If they weren't going to change it, Cliff Kingsbury would still be here. And, you know, and it is an opportunity here for Bobby Wagner from the other side of the field to continue to give the perspective that he's got, right? To be able to say, hey, I saw this, and you telegraph the pass, you look this way, like the little fundamentals that a veteran like Bobby Wagner can see, that he's seen over how many years, what a linebacker looks for, what a defensive player in general might be looking for, tells. It helps make Jaden Daniels better in that sense. It's all about the quarterback. It's all about making Jaden Daniels better. That's really what this comes down to. That's it. It is about the offense being catered around him. It's about his development. It's about Bobby Wagner being back, helping him develop. All this stuff matters. But you also can still get younger and faster in the process. It's just like, it's a little Salt Bay sprinkle of, you know, a few veterans here and there while you're getting younger. Because they can't be the oldest team in the NFL again because you're going to deal with injuries. That was my biggest concern heading into the year was, well, they're old. What about injuries? Do they have the depth? And we got that answered very quickly. I kind of thought the defense would at least be able to help at the beginning of the year. The offense would get kind of back into a rhythm. You know, anyway, it doesn't matter. Don't need to rehash that. I just try to wash my brain out with bleach and forget the season we just had. Moving on from that. But this is what veterans do bring to the table. And, you know, this is a team that needs help with that. This is a team that if you look around, you have to have some of that level of balance that's there. So I would bring Bobby Wagner back. And I know that makes people mad, but you can have Bobby Wagner out there in limited capacity with a small amount of money, and it's not the end of the world. Nick Ashew on The Fan.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter, from plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized, interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of 5-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 five-star reviews, the Copper Radiance mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you five-star sleep, the ultra-comfy Phantom reclining sofa, which boasts over 1,000 five-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So when you're ready to score five-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
So the NBA has an MVP problem, and it's on the cusp of being a glaring, glaring issue. Nick Ashew on the Fan. So we talked about that NBA straw poll that came out recently. If you don't know what that is, ESPN.com, Tim Bontemps specifically, does this whole thing where he polls people multiple times a year that have an MVP vote to kind of see where everybody's mind is. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was a heavy favorite to win it. Again, it's a favorite. It's not really odds, but it's based on voting, whatever. SGA, heavy favorite. Nikola Jokic behind him. Nobody else came close when it came to first place votes. They played last night and everybody was fighting, by the way. Nuggets and Thunder. Just go back and watch Nikola Jokic's crazy face. I do have it on Instagram. I got a clip of that. If you check that out, at Nick Ashew. That and the old TikTok, the scary face that Nikola Jokic made, just makes you think, what happens if he's actually mad? We know what his brothers are capable of. They're crazy. So, yeah, there's that. But you have a chance that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Nikola Jokic, and Victor Wembanyama, three of the top four vote-getters in this poll, straw poll, but really like three of the four favorites to win MVP this year, they all could be ruled out and ineligible to win MVP. Because you got to play at least 65 games. Now, I know the easy response from people is, well, just you got to play enough games. Well, okay. Yeah, sure. But if you're ruling, if you're at the point now where 65 games is eliminating so many players, something needs to change. Because if you're the NBA right now, and you're sitting there and you're playing the game of, well, who's going to be the next face of the league? Because the NBA thinks about this. This matters to them. It's not, they know that they're a star-driven league, and they know that LeBron is in the twilight of his career. I think he plays one more year, but we're close to that. Who's going to be that next guy? To be in the discussion for the face of the league or one of the faces of the league, you got to be an MVP, you got to win, titles matter. All of these things. Well, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Nikola Jokic have won titles. They're at the very top there. That tells you something. But are they really true face of the league material? Nikola Jokic isn't a big enough personality normally to kind of be in that conversation. And, you know, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, look, plays in Oklahoma City. It's not a big market. I love that organization. I love that team. They could be a dynasty. But they're just not a polarizing team. Maybe 3, 4, 5 years from now, when they stay consistently good, it's a different conversation. But we're just not there yet. So if you already rule those guys out, Wemby, who really has a chance to be there. But again, at least the help there is you're playing in San Antonio, but it's an organization that's won a lot of titles in the past. So there's a history there. But again, you're trying to work your way around, if you're the league, to market players as much as possible to fill that void. Because it's all about storylines and generating manufactured interest in game 37 and 38 of the regular season. Really, last night between the Thunder and Nuggets, awesome game. Really, I mean, fiery, and obviously there was a big fight, and you got all that stuff going on, but those are the types of games that now develop storylines between these teams, and people care about it. Remember last time they played? SGA and Nikola Jokic kind of getting in before, and then Lou Dort and Nikola Jokic throwing the elbow, go watch the highlights, there's a fight. But those are the types of things that generate interest. The NBA knows that you're not going to shrink games. Everybody can sit here and be like, well, you know, get rid of some of the games. What? You can't. They make money. The NFL wants to add an 18th game. They don't need to. We don't need more regular season football, but we're going to get it. The NBA is not going to get rid of games. You lose money. You have to find a way to, and it's not even just about replacing the revenue. It's increasing the revenue. Now, yeah, you expand the game overseas more and do some of those types of things. There's other ways to generate that revenue, but do I think 82 games is too long? Yeah. But it's not going to change. Baseball plays twice as many games. That's even more ridiculous. But they're not going to play fewer games. Especially when so many of the records in baseball are dictated by totals, right? Home runs and all this and the comparison. Like, baseball loves its records and stats. You ain't getting rid of that. So if you're the NBA, you have to generate interest in the middle of a season. That means star power. That means rivalry matchups. The NBA's lacked rivalries for years. They have a rivalry week right now. Try saying that. Rivalry week right now. Whew. Whew, let me chop. Deep breath. They have a rivalry week. See, I can't do it. Metal Chris, try and say it. Rivalry week right now. Say it again.
Rivalry week right now.
Pretty good, actually. I'm actually impressed. Well done.
The one that always gets me is Unique New York.
Unique New York. Yeah, keep saying it faster and faster. Sounds like Ron Burgundy. The Human Torch was denied a bank loan. But yeah, like, this is what the NBA is trying to do. They've got the NBA Cup. I like it. It's fine. I mean, you know, is it artificial? Sure. But is it at least something that adds a little bit more juice to the regular season? Yeah, that's fine. You can make fake rivalries up, but really the NBA, true organic rivalries and organic stars are the way that you want to go. Eventually, these guys are going to rise to the top, whoever takes over for LeBron, whenever that is and however long that is. It might be somebody that's not even in the league yet. It might be Darren Peterson. I don't know. Got to figure out whether he's healthy or just taking himself out of games, but that's maybe he's a wizard, and then we'll know for sure. We'll figure that out. But, you know, if you're the league, you want stars so people are going to watch. There are kids today, they don't even care about teams. They just care about the individual player. They're a Wemby fan. They're a Luka fan, and then they became a Lakers fan. And they're a LeBron fan. I mean, that's how that league is. It's always going to be that way with the NBA. What makes the NFL and college football so unique and what gives them an opportunity to really build up the individual games week after week after week is just that. It's week after week after week, but there's a gap. You have a little absence makes the heart grow fonder and a lead-up period to it, and there's a limited number of games. If your team gets the doors blown off them on a Tuesday night, the Wizards lose another game on a Thursday night. Now the Wizards are getting the doors blown off them a lot, but now they're starting to win more. By the way, stop it. What are you guys doing? Stop winning games when that. But, you know, listen, we all know that that's a separate situation with the Wizards. We know what they're trying to do, so honestly, bringing them into this is kind of stupid. It doesn't even matter. But You have this quick turnaround where you forget what happened previously, but when there's stars, there's bigger storylines, and it lasts longer. It's just it's how the world works. Social media has changed that. It's only going to continue. It's something the NBA is going to have to think about, and it's something the NBA cares about. Now you have an opportunity here. If SGA and Nikola Jokic and Victor Wembanyama all are ineligible to win MVP, that means other names get elevated to the top. A Cade Cunningham in Detroit. He's really good. But Detroit was bad for years. And now that they're winning, like the last couple of seasons, people are paying attention going, oh, Cade Cunningham, pretty good. I've been a fan of that guy since he left Oklahoma, since he was drafted. And I was like, this guy's going to be good. But it takes time sometimes. Jaylen Brown's getting no vote. I look at that straw poll. He got 11 total votes, 0 first place votes. 43 total votes. I was looking at Donovan Mitchell, who, no, not going to win MVP. But Jaylen Brown and the Celtics, they shot 67% from the field last night. I know it was the Nets, but Jaylen Brown's a name that doesn't get enough attention. But the Celtics were kind of looking at this year as one of those years that you just, right, it was like a bridge year. Jason Tatum injures his Achilles in the playoffs. They trade away a bunch of guys, and they say, yeah, well, you know, we just want to get under the that dreaded second apron. Now they're winning games. Like, wait a second. Jason Tatum's talking about coming back. Jaylen Brown's averaging 30 a game, and you're going, okay, maybe he is an MVP. So there's a chance for other names to be in the conversation, but you just can't have a league where your best players are ineligible to win an MVP. You drop it down to like 50 games. I think that's reasonable enough. 65 is just not enough. Now, listen, the NBA also put this in because they were getting those new contracts negotiated, and they wanted to be able to show all of these new distributors of their product, we're going to have stars playing. This whole resting guys in back-to-backs and, ooh, it's not going to happen anymore because we want to make sure that they play in these games so they can win awards and get bonuses. That was absolutely part of it. Well, those deals are locked up now. I would guarantee that it changes this offseason. I don't think it totally goes away. And I'm fine with some level of a minimum. Like, a guy winning MVP playing 31 games, I mean, come on. I think we can probably say. But nobody's going to vote for somebody that plays those few amount of games anyway. So it doesn't matter. So when everybody brings this up, like, you got to have a minimum, yeah, put it at like 55. Drop it at least a little more. Some level, 65 is just not enough. Because what if a guy literally is having an MVP season but has a stretch where he misses a bunch of games and does have to slowly work? Like, you do still need to give players the ability to come back from some level of injuries. Recovery does matter. Minutes restrictions do matter. SGA was on one last night. Like, these are things. They do exist. They're not a bad thing. But you just have to have the limits. The problem is, there is a bright spotlight on load management for so long, and the NBA gets really sensitive to anything negative when it was betting for a long time, it's tanking, it's, you know, player empowerment and too many trades and super teams. Every time there is a negative spotlight on anything in the NBA, they will find a way to change it. They will do everything in their power to quickly change the rules. Sometimes that's good. Sometimes it's a little too extreme. But I can tell you right now, the 65-game rule, it's going away after this year. They're absolutely going to change it because it is more than likely that three of the top four candidates to win MVP are going to be ineligible this year. And then it's going to be considered if Cade Cunningham wins it, rightly deserving, honestly, with the way Detroit's been. Jaylen Brown wins it, deserves it with the way the Celtics are playing. It's going to be called an empty MVP. It's just the way it is. Nick Ashew on the Fan. Duke just whooped up on UVA today, 77-51. Whew. Cameron Boozer, 18 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists. Maybe potential future Wizard. Could be. You know, even if the Wizards do fall, I mean, look, we don't want that, but if they do, there's still a lot of other talented players in this draft. But yeah, this top three is certainly a very unique and very coveted group of players. But that also doesn't guarantee everything. I mean, how many times have we been here before where you think somebody's a franchise player and then sometimes it's not even about that they don't live up to expectations, it's that there's somebody else that actually exceeds those, right? I mean, we've seen it plenty of times in the draft. I think Trey Johnson's going to be great. And, you know, it's not like they got him number three overall either. So there's a lot of possibilities for the Wizards, that even if it does turn into that situation, I think the Wizards are certainly in a good place. Metal Chris, I saw something that I'm going to need you to weigh in on here, sir, as we only have a couple minutes. We are now finding that high school football recruits are using AI to alter their game film. We have finally hit that point, my friend.
Yeah, Saban brought this up earlier, too.
Did he?
Yeah.
I missed that part. Oh, my gosh.
So it sounds like they're adding to the video. Because I was like, if they're just cleaning up the footage to make it look nice, that's one thing. But if they're adding, an extra 10 yards to a run or something, I was like, that sounds ridiculous.
Some of the videos I saw where it's a long touchdown pass, this was fully created by AI. It's one of those things.
Yeah,
so it's
you're
sampling other video and then running it through AI, and there's a lot of really good AI products out there. I'm a nerd for this stuff. I dig in deep, and there's some really good video creation. It's bad, man. I mean, it's bad. You got to make sure that it's not AI created. It's one thing if you're using AI to help you organize ideas and create. There's so many uses for it. But if you're literally making up game film,
They're cleaning up just some old camera footage. I get that. Make it look nicer or whatever. But if you're actually changing what you've done on the field, that seems, it's like playing Nintendo,
Right. It's it's one thing if you're taking grainy footage and saying, this is actually it. I'm just clearing it up. I'm upscaling the video to make it prettier for you, crisper. That's it. That's all we need. We see remastered movies all the time. Old movies, they remaster them. From that concept, that film going to coaches, that's one thing. It's another one we're just making stuff up. But look, this is the world we live in now. This does not surprise me one bit. And it's gonna continue. Again, I'm at the point now where I don't know if I believe any video I see on the internet anymore. I saw a video today of a guy wrestling a kangaroo, and I'm like, is that real or is it fake? He said it's in Australia. I don't know. I'm dead serious. And it looked real. It's not like the kangaroo, they were wrestling. There's a chance a kangaroo was hopping around somewhere in Australia and decided to jump on a guy. It might have been real. I don't know anymore. I have no idea. It's impossible to figure this out. I just don't believe anything. They're like, oh yeah, we're a couple years away from people believing nothing on the internet. I'm already there. I already just go, that's probably AI. It seems unbelievable, so it's probably the case. That's it. And now, yeah, you got to figure out whether you're recruiting a player, whether this stuff is actually real or not. And I don't even know what you do. I don't have an answer for what you would do as a college recruiter trying to decide whether the footage you've watched, eventually you're going to go watch a player in person, right? If it's a star recruit, but not every guy's a star recruit. Sometimes it's somebody that's on the back end of your roster. I guess at that point they don't make it and you realize it was a lie. It's going to happen. There are going to be situations where you're going to get duped completely. I don't know if it's going to be what Chad Powers or whatever that show is on Hulu, where he has a whole fake face, but this is what it's come to. It's only going to get more complicated. AI's awesome, but I would not want to be recruiting kids right now that are making some fake game film. Metal Chris, good stuff, buddy. I know you got a marathon still today. Great work as always. I'm going to stop talking for a while. 2 hour show this morning, then this. My wife will be happy. I'm going to shut up. I'm Nick Cashew on The Fan.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
You don't brag about your car's resale value until years later when it proves you made the right call. And Toyota makes that choice easy. For the sixth year in a row, Toyota was named the best resale value brand by Kelley Blue Book, with Camry, Tacoma, and 4Runner all earning best in class. Because when you buy a vehicle that's built to last, you drive away with value you can count on. Shop Toyota.com to learn more. Vehicles projected resale value and best resale value awards are specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB and all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame. How will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5. Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.